Hope that everybody's doing well. As I brought out this morning, if you want to open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, this evening's lesson will be coming out of there as this morning's did. Romans chapter 8, and this time looking at verse 31. Romans 8, verse 31. This morning we went through and looked at verse 18, and it reads, "Therefore I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And so as we went forward this morning and talked about the glory, the wonderful gifts that we receive as obeying the gospel, becoming children of God and gaining God on our side, and His forgiveness, His salvation, the forgiveness of sins, home in heaven, it's just a wonderful thing. And to build up on top of that, decided to bring out another lesson this evening, continuing on that point, that we gain our God on our side. And we're able to come to verse 31, which reads, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" And so it's going forth and pointing out that God is on our side. We gain the greatest help that we could ask for, having God on our side. And it's bringing out this just one question of, if God is for you, if you choose to have God on your side, who can come up against you? What exactly do you think can truly happen to you that could separate you from our God, that could bring you down, that God cannot bring you up from? If God is for you, who can be against you? And so that'll be the two points we're going to be looking at this evening, is the point of God for us, and then who can be against us. And so let us look at that. Let us bring out the point. God is on our side. God is on our side. Staying here and thinking about it, God is our creator. That's who we're saying is on our side. The creator is on our side. The one who's able to speak everything into existence. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God spoke mankind into existence. God spoke these things into existence. The world, the sun, the stars. God would speak and it would be. That is who our God is. Our creator. Who can go up against that? Again, mankind has created many wonderful things. And I think I pointed it out in the article that I wrote this morning, that mankind has continuously come up, and just as you continue to see the different things, me and Casey enjoy watching Shark Tank. And so you have these inventors coming up all the time, bringing these new things. It's like, where do they come up with these ideas sometimes? And sometimes it's the most obvious. I'm like, well, who didn't do that? And the other times it's like, where'd that come from? And again, our computers, our phones, and what you can do with them. It's just mankind has created a lot of things. But where do we compare to God as a creator? Where do we compare? God has blessed us with the intelligence that we have. God is so wise that His foolishness is wiser than men's. God, our creator, is on our side. And as we go to Exodus chapter 3 and we look at the plagues, going through, again, the God who appeared to Moses in a burning bush, the God who was able to cause Moses' staff to turn into a serpent and to back into a staff, God who was able to take Moses' hand and make it leper and then heal it, the God who was able to turn water into blood, to bring frogs and locusts and so many things upon the land of Egypt to destroy it. God who's able to keep it from happening in one spot where the children of Israel dwell, and then make it all come down upon the people of Egypt. That's our God. Again, who can be against our God? And that's what he pointed out to the Pharaoh. Pharaoh asked that question, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? Who is this God that you want to go and worship that I should listen to what he has to say?" After all, he is Pharaoh. He is king. He is the ruler. And they have their own gods that they worship. But eventually it came down to the point that his own wise men said, "We cannot do the things that he is doing This is the finger of God. This is the hand of God. This is the true God. That is who's on our side. That's who you're choosing to accept to be on your side when you choose to obey the gospel. That is something that we are gaining as we go to our Lord and we ask for His forgiveness, saying, I want to be your child. I want to be your servant. I want to be your soldier. That's who we are serving. The God that goes before us and delivers us as you continue to go down through the Word of God, going to Joshua. Again, one who goes before the children of Israel. As Joshua and the children of Israel enter into the land of Canaan, they go there. And time and again, as they go from one city to the next, God is going before them. God is assisting them. God usually takes care of most of the battle before they even get there to do any fighting. You look at the city of Jericho, that they marched around the walls. You go ahead. You just start marching around this church building as many times as you want. See if the walls fall down. The God who was able to make the walls fall down when they shouted and they blew their trumpets. That is who we gain on our side. That is who we are gaining on our side. The God who delivered David, a young shepherd, not trained in battle, not trained with a sword, not trained with a shield, not trained to wear a breastplate, shod his feet, knowing how to do these things. Simply a shepherd who knows how to protect his sheep. One who's willing to stand for the weak because they're not able to protect their own. Yeah, he's defended off a lion and a bear. And yet you have all these trained soldiers. Not one of them were willing to stand up against Goliath. And it wasn't, again, a long battle. It wasn't a battle that was a close call. Man, David sure got by just a hair. No, David threw one stone and was victorious. That is the God that we serve. That is the God that is on your side. The confidence we should have when we say, I am a child of God, I am in the Lord's army, is the confidence that David had when he was able to go forth and speak and say, today the Lord will deliver you into my hands. He didn't go there in the confidence of I'm stronger, because he wasn't. He wasn't able to go there in the confidence that I've won more battles, because he hadn't. He was able to go with confidence in one thing and one thing alone, our God. We gain God on our side. God who is going to give everything He can to provide and to help us, to assist us. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. If you're still there in Romans 8, I know I've been pointing out these things. We haven't been turning to them because as you go through Genesis 1, that's the whole chapter of creation. Exodus 3 through 14, all the plagues and all of these things. But coming back to Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, it says, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Again, it comes down to, how far is God willing to go for you? He's willing to go so far that He gave His only Son. That is the God we gain. That is who is on your side. And He loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son. That He allowed humans that He created to somehow have more power over His Son to be able to kill Him. That's how much He loves us. That's how far He was willing to go for you. Willing to make such a sacrifice. God, that is who's on our side. You sit there and think about how hard, again, we went through the sufferings this morning and all the things that we might go through and bring out this one point right here. God is on your side. Can those temptations, can those things really have power over us when He is on our side? If God is for us, who can be against us? turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and you look through as it gives us the armor of God. This is not just any armor. This is God's armor. This is what he says we need in order to remain faithful. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hold of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication and spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." He goes forth and brings out, we don't put on this armor of God. We don't go forth and just obey the gospel, become soldiers of Christ just to stand back. He says, "I put all these things on and I pray continuously." Why? "So that he may go out and preach the word, that he may speak boldly as he ought to speak." Because he has confidence in the God that he serves. He fully believes in the promises that he has made. That his word is as sharp as a two-edged sword that can pierce the heart to the soul. That he has promised, even through the worst of things, even if you die in his name, that if you do it in his name, you will have a home in heaven. That is our God. That is who is on our side. And if he is on our side, then again, who can be against us? Paul bringing out again, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I mean, just sit there and think about it. God is on your side. What is it we can't get through upon this earth? Now, that is my last one. I forgot that I just added that as I was going over my sermon this afternoon. God is our judge also. Jesus is our judge. Again, we come to that point of asking who can be against us when God is the judge. Even as you go through your life here on earth, you go through everything that you face, and you go through all the temptations and the trials, people mocking you for being faithful, for coming to worship, because you're here tonight, you're not at home getting ready for Super Bowl Sunday. You're saying, "Man, why aren't you watching the biggest game of the year?" Again, they can judge us with their judgment all they want, but with the final judgment, the one that actually counts, is by our God, by our Lord. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." He'll be our judge. Therefore, we don't have to worry about what other people are going to judge us with their own mindset, their own decisions, their own points. Because Jesus is the one that's going to be judging us. And so if God is for us, who can be against us? Who truly can? Go back to Romans chapter 8 again, because it brings out these points in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 33. Romans 8, verse 33. It says, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies." Who can bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. "Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Then you get down to 38 again. It says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul goes forth, there's nothing. He is fully persuaded. He is fully convinced that there's not a thing on this world, not a person in this world, that can truly separate us from God, from His love, from His grace. There's nothing that if we are willing to serve Him, you're willing to live a faithful life to Him, there's no one that can take that away from you. There's nothing that can take that away from you. Nothing. Not even Satan. We think about Satan. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Matthew 25 and verse 41, it says, then He will also say to those on the left hand, depart from Me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Understand, the devil's already lost the game. God has already prepared the place of torment for him and his followers. Satan cannot force us to separate from our God. He cannot force you to choose a path of sin. He can't. And again, we can think about all the points we made this morning, whether it's family, father against son, mother against daughter, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, five in one house divided. But they cannot separate you from God. They cannot force you to do anything. Government can go forth and make as many laws as they want. They can try to do their best. They can throw us into prison. But if you have a mindset and a heart to serve God, and you're willing to endure, you're willing to persevere, they can't force you to stop serving God. They can't keep you from obeying the Word of God. The world may hate you. The world may do everything they can and throw everything they have at you. But they cannot separate you from the love of God. If God is for us, who can truly be against us? Everyone in this world is just simply another creation of God. God created them. God created the government. God created your family. God created this world. God's going to judge them. Just like He's going to judge you. Just like He's going to judge me. Therefore, if God's on our side, how do they stand a chance? The only thing that can cause us to separate from God is ourselves. We are the only ones that can truly get in our way. Is that if we say, I don't want to be on God's side. That's what it comes down to. If God is for us, no one else has a chance. But you can say, I don't want to be on God's side. In James chapter 1 and verse 14, James chapter 1 and verse 14, though Satan is referred to as the tempter, and we know that he tempted Jesus, but those temptations that we face today are temptations from our own desires. It says, James 1 verse 14, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So when it comes down to it, it's up to you. It is up to you if God is on your side. It is you who decide to separate or to stay with God. As you go through those sufferings, temptations, trials, tribulations, whether it's with family members, whether it's with the neighbor, whether it's with enemies or friends or the government, any of those, it's on you to decide to continue to fight the good fight or to give in. It's a choice we have to make. A question that we have to ask ourselves in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. As it reads here, it says, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in his glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to their works." It comes down to asking yourself, is there anything, anyone, that you're willing to exchange you, yourself? It's not, is there anyone out there or anything out there that can separate us? It's what you're willing to take in exchange. You're willing to take this and give up a home in heaven. You're willing to take this and to have an eternal life of torment. It's all on us. Our own choices. If you choose sexual morality over going to heaven, then you've made your choice. If you choose to lie over going to heaven, if you choose to forsake the assembly, if you choose to simply to live an immodest life, it's on you. Satan will tempt us and use our desires against us, use those things that we may want to enjoy, but you have to be willing to give in. You have to choose to go down that road. We referred to Matthew 7 this morning. We look at it again. You have those two choices to make. Choose to go down an easy path. Enjoy the things of this world. But understand that you're paying a cost. As you go down that path of sin, then you're going down a path of giving up your soul, separating yourself from God, and facing His wrath. Or you can choose that harder path. And you choose a path that's going to be difficult, that you're not always going to get along with everybody in this world. But in the end, God is on your side, and He's promised you a home in heaven. And so we extend that invitation to any who desire to obey the gospel this evening, any who need the prayers of the congregation, any who are willing to come forward and to be baptized, allow God to wash your sins away. Let God be on your side. Be a soldier of Christ. Because if God's for you, who can be against you? So if you need the prayers of the congregation or if you need to be baptized, we let it be known as we stand and sing.
I'm pressing on the upward way.